Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines of stunning hypocrisy. James, we begin this week's New World Next Week with the announcement coming from Pharrell and Al Gore just a few hours ago. New Live Earth concerts on all seven continents. We'll take this from Reuters. A Live Earth music event to demand action on climate change will take place on June 18th across seven continents, including Antarctica. Former Vice President Al Gore and pop star Pharrell Williams announced today as I come to you, January 21st. Concerts will be staged in six cities, Paris, New York, Rio, Beijing, Sydney, and Cape Town, in what will be the largest event of its type ever staged. The final Antarctic gig will be played by a band of scientists at a research station. 2 billion people are expected to tune in to the 24-hour event across nearly 200 television networks. Each individual concert is supposed to run 4 to 6 hours. Live Earth is designed to galvanize public support for climate action ahead of make-or-break United Nations talks in Paris in December 2015 on combating global warming. Al Gore, winner of the Nobel Peace Prize in 2007, said, "It's absolutely crucial that we build public will for an agreement. The purpose is to have a billion voices with one message to demand climate action now." Singer-producer Pharrell Williams previously teamed up with Al Gore for a similar 24-hour Live Earth event in 2007, where folks like Snoop Dogg and Rihanna and Metallica and Genesis and Bon Jovi and a ton more bands joined along. Meanwhile, other bands like The Who and Muse and Arctic Monkeys dubbed that concert Private Jets for Climate Change. Now, James, an interesting angle to this, and I always love to get into sort of a little of the more esoteric, kind of bizarre occult angles. Pharrell seems to be planning some other event, a part of this. So here's Pharrell's quote, and this comes from CBS News. "I think you guys know how serious the global warming thing is. And so for us, we're taking it very seriously, and we wanted to do something very different this time. Instead of just having people perform, we literally, and I can't go into it now because some interesting surprises are coming out soon, but we literally are going to have humanity harmonize all at once." James, aside from some big, massive event where everyone's going to be singing along, and I can only think of these sort of bizarre spectacle events like the Super Bowl halftime show and Video Music Awards and those things becoming kind of the big psychological media operation kind of event. So we'll have to wait and see exactly what this kind of mass sing-along is. But I find it really telling that they didn't announce this at a farmer's market or a bike rally. They announced it at Davos, where private talk amongst the banksters, James, probably has to do a little bit with the Swiss franc revaluation, a massive move in the money markets. But they just want the plebs to all kind of sing Kumbaya, James.
Bingo. I think you hit on it right there, because this obviously is not about about any real action whatsoever. It's about political and financial elites wielding their power over the people via their mouthpiece celebrity puppets. Look, I do not care. I truly don't care if you want to buy into the discredited, unfalsifiable, goalpost-moving science of climate change. Great. Awesome. You know, be a sucker, fall for that crap. The end goal is what's important. What do you actually want to see come of this? And in that regard, I think I share a lot of the same beliefs as these global warming proponents, because the real people who believe in this myth, because I also want to see decentralized power. I want to see more community-level focus. I want to see people off the grid more than on the grid, not because I think it's going to kill Mother Nature, but because I think it's the only way to achieve the full flowering of human freedom. But whatever, we have the same goals. Let's concentrate on those goals and how to actually achieve them. And they are not achieved by giving slavishly devoting our worship and our praise and our money and our time and our political energies to these celebrity puppets or the multi-millionaire connected financial or connected political elites behind them or the multi-trillionaire paper fiat funny money creator financial elites behind them. This agenda goes up and up and up the pyramid, and all they're asking is for us to get behind their agenda so that they can centralize the power to use this. So even if you believe in the global warming hoax garbage nonsense, you still should be opposed to what's going on with events like these and still be concentrating on what we can actually do at the local level to devolve the power away from these politicians who, again, no matter what you want to believe, are the problem here. It's not the people that are the problem. It's not that we have to give more of our power to these people to wield over us.
I think the decentralization that you're talking about, I think we'll try and get to later on in this episode. But James, I think as we move to our second story, and again, as you and I even kind of talked off mic, we enjoy the steady sort of evolution of doing New World Next Week, and that we don't want to kind of talk about necessarily the same stories each time. And there are ways, I think, that we can do that. And I think in a lot of those ways is to sort of always be looking forward and not having us kind of constantly come here each week and kind of only reacting to that event that happened or this thing. We want to try and look at things coming up in the future that, again, all we're trying to do here is give folks information, more ability to make better informed decisions about your life. And again, everything we talk about on these episodes always has been, always will be open source and will be linked up for you to share and go do more investigation on your own. James, having said that, something happened about a week ago that we haven't discussed here yet. And again, as the news cycle moves so quickly, there are things that we're going to miss that, again, thanks to folks using hashtag New World Next Week on Twitter, we can get some extra stories, such as the UK and the US to stage cyber war games, but more specifically, Britain and US to train cyber agents to protect banks from terrorists. This pioneering deal was signed January 16th by David Cameron and Obama in talks at the White House, which focused on combating terrorism and boosting the two nations' economic growth, which, again, it's all in how they lay out the sentence. We want to fight terrorists, but it's about the money a bit behind the scenes. The first of a series of joint UK-US war games will simulate online attacks on the City of London and Wall Street in moves to assess the quality of large financial institutions' defenses against malicious hacking designed to paralyze their operations. It'll involve UK and US intel agencies, as well as organizations such as the Bank of England and several large commercial banks. This war game will be followed by further exercises to test critical national infrastructure in the two countries, such as, of course, the boogeymen of controlling power supplies and the road and rail networks. Britain and the U.S. are also going to establish a joint cyber cell on each side of the Atlantic, James, where intel agents will work together to share info about the threats and respond to any attempted attack. The first time the UK has established such an operation overseas, as much as they want to let us know that this is the first time this has ever happened, it'll bring together MI5 and GCHQ with their counterparts in the NSA and the FBI. In other moves, the article goes on to note, and James, I think this is where it gets down to the heart of it, because the big show and the big war games are the things they like to put as the headlines, but we never see that action. In other moves, the government will pool resources to train young computer experts as cyber agents and share the latest security advice to the multinational firms which could be targeted by online terrorists. The potential dangers of cybercrime were illustrated this week when the Twitter and YouTube accounts of the U.S. military command CENTCOM were briefly hijacked by a group claiming to back Islamic State. Last month, Sony Pictures suffered severe embarrassment when its computer system was hacked in an attack blamed on North Korea. James, both of which were highly, highly suspect examples of what we call virtual flag terrorism. So much so that even some of the mainstream outlets like Wired and Boing Boing doubt the Fed's stories. So I've got some related headlines to this, but James, I have a question. If you can help us define the difference between international banking cartels and terrorists.
Well, I guess the terrorists are the ones who do the dirty work, and the international banking cartels are the ones that finance them. But no, there's not a lot of separation there. This is an interesting story insofar as it's a great data point on, I think, the trajectory that we've been drawing through probably the entirety of the New World Next Week series, which is that transition that we're going through from real-world warfare into cyber warfare as the prevailing paradigm for 21st century conflict. And that takes place in not just the military context, but of course, finance, intelligence, all of these things are becoming cyberized in various ways. And that's where we're seeing all this focus. So, I mean, you can see the rise and development of something like WikiLeaks or the Snow Job operation or Snowden or all of that kind of stuff is part of that transition that we're going through right now. And the obvious, I mean, the glaringly obvious part of this is that we are going to have the cyber 9/11 at some point. They are going to pull that off in the same way they pulled off 9/11 15 years ago. It is going to be the next part of the agenda. So I think, I mean, all of this is fascinating, but also chilling, because exactly as you point out, virtual false flag terrorism is the now the prevailing paradigm that we have to be on the lookout for, precisely because 100% all we can do is look at and try to scry the pronouncements of various intelligence agencies when they come out and say, yep, it was North Korea. What possible recourse does the average person have to say otherwise, other than to say, I don't believe you? So it is now, we're entering that world where it's just 100% pronouncement, he said, she said kind of things on events like this. And that should be scary, because of course with war games like this, where they're trying to attack each other's banking systems or whatever, all it takes is for a red team to suddenly go live and to start actually doing the things they're supposed to be doing in a drill, and suddenly there's a real event, and it can be blamed on whoever, literally whoever they want to blame it on. So this is the new paradigm. Welcome to the new normal. I think we have to be aware of this and ready for it, because again, the only way these tricks can work is if we fall for them, and if we expose the magician's trick before the magician does the magic trick, it doesn't work on the audience. And that's the key part. We still have our consciousness. Let's retain it and retain our skepticism of everything that these people are saying.
James, our work has gone into what's called the Information Operations Roadmap, which tells us, and we know as if they haven't been training young computer experts, i.e. military soldiers, to, in their words, fight the net for a decade, and we've documented all of that. So some of the related notes I wanted to make briefly, James, related to the latest snow job revelations: the iPhone has secret spy software that can be remotely activated, and the aforementioned GCHQ classifies investigative journalists as threats. That coming from the latest Snowden leaks. Meanwhile, XMI6, that's the UK's CIA, XMI6 chief says we can't stop terrorism unless we spy on innocent people. This being, of course, the fallout, waving the bloody shirt from the Paris attacks. Now, James, wouldn't it be nice, as we move into our third and final story this week, if there were more ways to kind of help us not fall for the Fed's stories, as we've looked at in the other segments? There's another great way, and I think it's a part of our continuing effort to kind of bring folks what we're calling good news next week. And this continues right on the heels of something that we talked about last week, James, with the young kid inventing and kind of revolutionizing, now hopefully, a high-speed 3D printer. Now, a teenager's browser plugin, it's called Greenhouse, and it shows you where U.S. politicians get their funding. Nicholas Rubin, 17-year-old self-taught computer programmer from Seattle, Washington, has a browser plugin that works for Chrome and works for Firefox and works for Safari, I believe all the kind of main big browsers. And you can get on his website. It's called allaregreen.us, and his motto is, "Some are red, some are blue, all are green," referring to the red and blue of U.S. politicians, the phony left, the phony right here in America, but they all get paid. So this is a browser plugin that whenever it detects a member of Congress, when their name is on any kind of website you're on, whether it's a news or a blog or Twitter or anything, it'll recognize that name and give you a little pop-up and show you where they get their funding from. So another great way to hopefully not keep falling for the same, you know, career politicians, James.
This is great, because it's such a simple idea, and it draws on sources that are already there, and that we already, I mean, I know about these sources. I know that they're there. It's just generally, when I'm reading a story, I don't think to go back and check, okay, so where is the funding for this coming from? I mean, it's a beautiful, simple idea, and it's the type of idea that can be done with open data, with open sources. Again, just connecting information to make it as easily and readily available as possible, and now all you have to do is download this plugin, and suddenly you can, whenever you see that policy, politician's name, you can see their funding sources, and start to draw that information in. And when we start, that also changes the way we think about these politicians, because honestly, if you're just reading a news story, you can get caught up in the flow of the story. But when you have that extra information, you are always thinking about, well, where does the money trail lead? And I think that's valuable to do. So my hat's off to all of the enterprising young teenagers who are outstripping a lot of us old folks here with the ways that this technology can be utilized and harnessed. Again, it's a simple idea, but very, very effective.
So a couple of the other hashtag good news next week stories I want to mention. A 13-year-old builds a Braille printer with Legos and has now started his own company and is now taking seed money. Where cellular networks don't exist, people are building their own. James, that's a story that time and time again you and I have come back to as folks kind of make their own internet, make their own phone service in communities all around the world. And another thing, James, you and I have kind of wondered about, again, maybe perhaps off mic, that you had asked about here in the States, is this is kind of a highly active situation, and Oregon just made the decision here. But a year after marijuana legalization in Colorado, the police there confirm, quote, everything's fine. It's also created thousands of jobs as tourists flock to the city's now 60-plus marijuana outlets. And again, I think this sort of speaks hopefully to both that and the previous story, speaks to that sort of decentralization that we're trying to work for on this show and anything kind of connected to that. So again, in that spirit, we want to highlight week two of our friend Brock West, his community garden journal. He's got a garden plot in Australia that he's been working on for the last little while, and he's got his week two that gets into planting seeds, making cuttings, and soil prep. Again, simple hands in the dirt things that we all literally should have been taught while we're in school, James.
Exactly right. So, well, hey, there's only two times to learn, 20 years ago or today, right? So, all right, excellent stuff. And again, it is, the world is what we make of it. And there are people out there that are rolling up their sleeves and doing some of that dirty work. So my hat's off to all of them. And my hat's off to you as well, James, for rounding up this information. Always looking forward to this conversation. And I hope it's as valuable to others as it is to me. So let's do it again next week.
All right, man. Thanks so much.